with this young man, 21 years old. I don't know if you remember that or not. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about, I had the privilege of talking with a young man, 21 years old. And anyway, he told me this. I said, what do you think about the Bible? He was telling me about reading a lot of other books. And I said, but what do you think about the Bible? He said, I think it's a good book. And then I said, well, what do you think about Jesus? Because he was talking about all these other world religions. And I said, but wait a minute. He said, well, Jesus is a good man. I said, wait a minute. Jesus is more than a good man. He's the God man. And not only that, but the Bible is not just a good book. It is a supernatural book. It's a good place to say amen. Anyway, so the young man was somewhat obviously confused. That was 2 weeks ago. Listen, beloved. The Lord has given us an open door. I cannot believe it. I rejoice in it. Every Thursday I have the privilege of going to a business now, and now it's an open door up in Covington, Georgia. Last Thursday I walked into this business. It's a time of discipleship. A couple of men, every once in a while, other men get together there. We talk about the things of God and fellowship and such. Anyway, when I got there to this particular restaurant, the manager has opened the door to witness, to share, to pray with not only the management, but with some of the employees. This particular individual works as an employee at this particular restaurant. He came up to me, 21 years old, this past Thursday. Keep in mind, 2 weeks ago, I'd already talked with him about this subject. He said, I could hardly wait. That's what he said Thursday when I walked in. I could hardly wait till you got here today. He said, I'm looking around, seeing everything going on in our nation. He said, look at the earthquake that just happened in Mexico, 8.1 on the Richter scale. Look at the hurricane that just hit Texas and the devastation, Harvey. And now Irma's coming up the coastline and several others to follow. He said, and not only that, but the fire's raging. He said, man, our world is in turmoil. He said, I talked with my grandmother, and he said, I'm interested now in talking about the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? I had the privilege of opening up the Bible and sharing with that young man, and even giving him a copy of the book the Lord had me to write, and prayed with him, and he is open to hearing the truth of the Word of God. But you know what, beloved? The truth be known, it's not just that young man that's on edge. Everybody seems to be on edge. We're living in a time when we're on edge. The uncertainty that we've already been talking about today. The future and what's going on and what is God up to in this whole world. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 12. I want to share with you a message the Lord put on my heart this week. On edge. That's the title. On edge. It appears that we're on edge. Those of you that have been watching television and watching the news and this transpiring of this terrible Hurricane Irma. It can get you on edge. It can cause you to feel a sense of anxiety. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. And some of us have been experiencing some anxiety and some uncertainty and worry. Hey, we don't know the future's going to hold, but we know who's going to hold the future. And I want to share with you right here in the Word of God some other things that are going on. Have you heard about this, September 23rd? Not just dare to share, Brother Chris, but have you heard the news that some are saying it's going to be the day when the rapture takes place? Has anybody heard that? We're going to learn about that today. We're going to see how they derive at this particular erroneous, I might add, conclusion. As to September the 23rd, it's supposed to be the day where some say the world's coming to the end or Jesus is coming again. There are some constellations that are going to be lining up together, unlike for thousands of years, that some are pointing to the book of Revelation chapter 12, saying, aha, here it is. And you're going to read the text today, and I'm going to read the text today, but we're going to see what God has to say about it. If you'd like to stand as we read Revelation chapter 12, here is in the middle of the tribulation. And keep in mind, at this point, the rapture has already occurred. The great getting up morning, only to be followed by 7 years of tribulation, according to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Christ confirms a covenant with the Jewish people only to break it a halfway through, according to Daniel 9. And meanwhile, the church being raptured will be at the judgment seat of Christ, otherwise known as the beam of judgment, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We will be either rewarded or suffer loss, not as to be saved or lost, but rather as to be rewarded as to the gifts we've been given, how we've served the Lord or how we've neglected to serve the Lord. There is an accounting day, beloved, for every Christian coming at the judgment seat of Christ. However, meanwhile on earth, 7 years of tribulation where God pours out his wrath in the form of seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials as depicted in the book of Revelation. And furthermore, after the judgment seat of Christ, while the church, ecclesia, is in heaven, then there will be the marriage of the Lamb described in Revelation 19, only to wait till Jesus Christ come in second coming in glory and power to planet earth. I'll show you a chart here in a moment, and it'll all come more clearer to you. But I said that to lead us up to the context of Revelation chapter 12. This is during the tribulation time, meant for the Jewish people, mind you, Israel. And I'll share more about that in a moment. But look at Revelation 12. Here's where we're going. On edge. Three reasons I see in the text as God gave me this week to encourage you, to challenge you. Revelation 12, verse 1, if you're there, say amen. And there, John wrote, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, approximately around 95 AD, a time of persecution. And there, he said, appeared a great wonder in heaven. Paul's there. The word wonder there is the word Simeon in the Greek. It means a sign. There appeared a great sign in heaven. But as we're going to read the text, we'll see that this sign appears to be a reality on earth. Keep reading. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Pay attention to these details in verse 1. We'll see it in a moment how some are erroneous again, concluding that this is the sign that's going to happen. September the 23rd, 2017. Read with me now. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And by the way, this is symbolic language. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And then notice verse 3. And there appeared another wonder. Again, that word wonder is the same word as used in verse 1. Simeon, sign. There appeared another sign in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Here's a picture of a woman. She's clothed with the sun. The moon is under her feet. She has 12 stars in her crown on her head. She is ready to deliver a child. There's a great red dragon ready to devour the child. Keep reading verse number 5, and she brought forth a man-child. Who is this woman? Who is this man-child? Notice, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up. I like that word, caught up. It's the same word, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. Caught up, harpazo, the rapture, caught up. That is, snatched away. Now, by the way, I don't believe it's pie in the sky business. I think the church is going to, yes, experience more persecution in this world, because Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so, yet I do not believe the tribulation is meant for the church, rather for Israel. And all you got to do is read the Old Testament and do a literal historical reading of the scripture, and we'll talk about that more in detail. At any rate, look at it. Verse number 6, and the woman, this woman, who is this woman? I'll talk about the woman. Are you ready to take notes? I believe this will be a revelation to many of you. You perhaps not read this. You perhaps have not connected the dots to this. Perhaps you've not related to what's going on in our modern day and practical application. Look at verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. Wonder where that's at. And that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Here we are introduced to a third character or personality in our text today. Not only is there a woman, but there's a great red dragon. Now there is Michael, the archangel, along with the man-child, number four. Look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was the place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Diablo, and Satan, which deceiveth. The word deceiveth, plano, means to mislead. We are now living in days of deception. But nonetheless, the devil will deceive the whole world, and the devil was cast out into the earth. I said to you, the scene is in heaven, but it comes to the earth. That's the clarification in verse number 9. And the devil was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation, strength, and kingdom, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth him before our God day and night. How many know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? Oh, yes, he is. He accuses us all the time. But oh, praise God. Look at verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Let's say that together. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Say it again. And they overcame. I don't hear you saying it. Say it one more time. Brother, you ought to take this home. Sister, you ought to take this home. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. And the word wrath there is thumos, which means an explosive anger. Why? Why is he angry? Why is he attacking? Look at the last part of verse 12. Here's why. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth and persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. That's tied in, by the way, with verse 6, if you're wondering. Into her place where she's nourished for a time and a half a time in the space of a serpent. And I'm going to stop there. May God bless the reading of his word today as we think for a moment on edge. Some of us are on edge today. We're on edge. We're worried about this. We're troubled about this. We've got anxiety in our heart. We haven't been sleeping very good. We've got trouble on our mind, and we need to get with God today to be overcomers. Father, thank you for the blessings of heaven. Thank you for the promises of your word, the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mighty power that overcomes Satan. And I pray you'll open our eyes and open our hearts. Keep us from distraction, Father. Keep us from, Father, our minds wandering. Help us to, Lord, engage the enemy, knowing that you've overcome and we can overcome too. And we thank you, Father, for victory in Jesus. I bless you for your cleansing power. I praise you, the blood shall never lose its power. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And I ask you, God, to wage war against the enemy and the principalities and powers, and lift up the standard around the people of God and your church. And Father God, put the armor on us. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, reaching the lost, loving you, being clean and close and spirit-filled men and women, making a difference as we go out in a lost and an unworld and an undone, dear God, world that's in desperate need of good news and hope and peace. And the devil's got them, dear Lord, in his clutches. I pray the power of the Holy Ghost will come today and break through in hearts today and break through, dear God. Help us to get real and honest and broken with you. And when all said and done, we'll thank you, because it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. Here's where we're going in the message today. Here's where we're going, beloved. There are three reasons why I believe people are on edge today. Here's three reasons. You ready to write them down? Number one, are we living in the times of the woman? Are we living in the times of the woman? And number two, are we living in the times of not only the woman, Number two, that's by the way, verse 1 and 2. Are we living in the times of the woman? You can find that in verse 1 and 2. Number two, the second reason, I'm giving you a quick outline right now, and here's where we're going in the message. Number two, the second reason I believe that we are living in a time where we're on edge, and the truth be known, if y'all will be honest with God, you've been anxious this week, you've been worried this week, you've been troubled, fear and insecurity, but oh, bless God, God knows how to give us peace in the storm. Yes, it does. Number two, not only are we living in the times of the woman, number two, are we living in the times of the great red dragon that's found in verses 3 through verse 6. We'll see that in a moment. Number three, the third reason I believe we're living in a time on the edge is because, number three, we'll find it in verse 7 through the end of the chapter, namely verse 17. Are we living in the times where we ought to be overcoming the devil? I find that in verses 7 through verse 17. There's a quick outline. Number one, are we living in the times of the woman? Who is this woman? What is John talking about? How does this apply to us? Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the text one more time. If you're in chapter 12, verse 1, say amen one more time. Amen. By the way, why don't you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you on edge? Ask your neighbor if they're on edge. You've been on edge, haven't you? I know you've been on edge. We are all at times on edge. That's why we need to get with God today. That's why we need to get a word from God today. That's why we need a resurrection power. We need to get with God. He brings security in our life. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our all in all. And thank God in him we live and move and have our being. Well, number one, who is this woman? Are we living in the times of the woman? Look at verse 1 one more time. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Underline that. Clothed with the sun. You're going to learn something today that you probably hadn't heard about. I ask you, have you heard about this? And this is kind of new to me as well. I'd not heard this till recently. Someone sent me a link concerning this. I thought we could address it in case you get deceived or misled by some of the extreme teaching and so-called fulfillments. Anyway, I'll stop there. A woman clothed, notice, with the sun and the moon under her feet. Underline that. Moon under her feet. What does that mean? And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. I want to ask you this question. As we think for a moment about a woman who is clothed with the sun, the moon is under her feet. Her hair, on her head, a crown with 12 stars. And in the midst of her, she's ready to deliver a child. Well, who in the world is this woman? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for those that are saying September the 23rd? This is it. Here is the so-called prophecy that will be fulfilled on September 23rd. Look at this. Have you seen this? Here is the constellation. The stars are going to line up in place. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't know about all this, but supposedly there's verified confirmation this will take place on September the 23rd. And hang with me now. I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm saying as far as this fulfillment of Revelation 12. Let me say that again in case you walk out of here and say, Pastor said this, the world's come to end September 23rd. Wrong. I'm not saying that. But I want you to know what is being said. And I want us to get in the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth. It's time for the people of God to know what the word of God says. The Jehovah's Witnesses know what it's saying. Unfortunately, they're wrong. Mormons and the rest, Muslims, it's time we become off the milk and on the meat. Amen. So notice this. The constellations are going to line up. Look at this. Here is a woman. The stars, the constellation of Virgo is going to line up. I don't know if you can see it where you're sitting. Here is the word. And then this woman, the moon, we're told, is going to line up under the feet of this constellation. And that some are saying, that's in Revelation 12, verse 1. The moon is going to be at her feet. If you understand what I'm saying so far, will you shake your head? All right? Good, good, good. You're with me. Now notice, what about these 12 stars in her crown? Well, did you know this other Leo, this constellation, supposedly on September 23rd, is going to line up as 9 stars, and yet 3 planets are going to join this constellation? They're those saying, look, Here's the 12 stars as depicted in Revelation chapter 12. They're all lining up as a crown on the woman's head. Well, what about this so-called child that she's going to bring forth to deliver? You see, brother, don't miss what I'm fixing to say. When you start monkeying around with the word of God, it's like driving a car. It don't take but one wrong turn and you're lost. And you start monkeying with the word of God. A lot of people say, oh, I know the Bible. And you got all kind of Bible experts and, you know, been in church maybe for a week. And now they know the Bible. Somebody say, man, I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just telling you. And so somebody said it's kind of like that sign on a restaurant that said, we don't have restrooms in here. Go to Amazon.com. That's about how it is. I heard about one restaurant that had a sign outside that said this. Don't stand outside and be disgusted. Come on inside and get fed up, all right? Get fed up. Look at this, beloved. Do you know what the Jupiter, the planet, is going and has been, so we're told, in the womb of this Virgo constellation? How long? The amount of gestation for a baby to be born. Supposedly, the Jupiter is going to move out on September the 23rd. Ah, you can see where people are saying things are lining up. The end is coming, the rapture of the church. This is a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. What does that sound like to you? Kind of sound like to me like the Mayan calendar deal in 2012. Kind of sounds like to me like, the year 2000 and everything's going to fall from the sky. But I want to tell you something. Just because some might be misinterpreting the Bible, that doesn't mean the Bible's not going to come to fulfillment. Jesus is coming. Don't you be deceived and naive and think because we've got some extreme teachers and preachers and people that are trying to fit everything together with our puny, finite mind. But don't throw out the fact the word of God is going to be fulfilled. Jesus is coming again. You know why I don't believe this? Number one, because I believe that Jesus can come back any time before September the 23rd. We call that the imminency. I further don't believe this because, by the way, Revelation 12 is not the rapture of the church, hello. It's during the tribulation. Y'all didn't get that, did you? I'm telling you, study your Bible. All you got to do is just put the pieces together. Make the dots count. Some of you ought to be coming to church more. I love you, but I got to tell you this. If you come to church more, and you come to church Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday morning and study your Bible, man, it's just great. It's I got to have it. It's like my necessary food. I know we're busy and got other things going on, but we ought to really know the Word of God as much as we've been in church. Sunday school teachers, top notch. We're making the availability for you to learn the Word of God. And you're out in the world, and that's my goal, is to present every man teleos, as Colossians 1, verse 29 and 28 says. All right, so what is the deal here? Who is this woman? Is it a constellation of stars? What's John saying about this woman? I saw a wonder, a sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. The moon was under her feet. She had a crown on her head, 12 stars, and she's ready to deliver a child. Meanwhile, there's a great red dragon. And he's ready to devour the child. That's exactly right. You know what's going to happen. By the way, if you want to go to the website, here's the website. You can write it down and find some of this information I'm sharing with you. But wait a minute. Who is this woman? Who is this woman? I'll tell you. You can do all kinds of Google search. And by the way, this is all over YouTube and all over the internet, what I'm telling you today concerning September 23rd. Well, who is this woman? Are you ready? Are we living in the days of the woman? May I suggest to you that we are. With all due respect, I don't mean disrespectfulness when I say what I'm fixing to say, but I do not agree with the interpretation, for example, of number one, the Catholic Church. They say the woman is Mary. I disagree. Revelation 12 is not Mary. And number two, there's some Protestant churches that say, well, this is a replication and an identification of the church. No. It doesn't appear to fit in the scenario of the whole Bible. You do know we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Talk to me now. That's why a lot of people are deceived today. We don't know our Bibles. And people come to school and come to church and they tell us anything and we swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Why? I'm not saying this to be ugly. I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm saying this to motivate you. We need to be overcomers. And brother, if we're going to turn this world upside down, we're going to turn Jasper County upside down, it's not going to come with a bunch of baby Christians. We got to get full of God and full of the Spirit of God and full of the Word of God. And then we become Spirit-filled men and women. And I say, dear Lord, do it in my heart. We're living in those times, beloved brother and sister. It's time to get serious. Some of you aren't serious. Some of you really need to get right with God and get serious. You've been playing church. You've been playing with God. You need to stop playing with God. He's not a Santa Claus upstairs and saying, you know, just when I'm praying for my team to win and all this stuff. Come on, give me a break. God's real, man. And we need to start recognizing who he is and start worshiping for who he is. Amen. Really. I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm telling you that the church ought to be packed out every day. You thought we'd have a Holy Ghost revival with all the stuff going on in America. But you know what I'm finding? I love you, but I got to tell you this. As your pastor, and God knows, I'm preaching myself. You know what I'm finding today? More and more people are getting more slacker when it comes to serving God than ever before. We've got some faithful, dedicated men and women, but by and large, many God's people, only the FBI can find them. Hello? I'm telling you, we're getting slack, and we're busy, and we're getting distracted, and I'm not saying you got priorities in your life. I'm saying no wonder the world is the way she is. It's we, the blood bought, the blood washed. We got to get filled up with God and start believing God and start living by faith and taking this world and seeing sinners saved. God's calling the church to be the church. God's looking for some people to get serious about God, not be a Pharisee, not be a hypocrite, sold out. How many want the blessings of God on your life? Come on, how many want the blessings of God? Only way to get the blessings of God is get in the will of God, the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in you. Who's this woman? I believe it's Israel. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The woman is Israel. Why? Again, the tribulation was meant for Israel, not the church. And I'm going to share with you some quick things. I don't have time to go into all the detail. I wish I did. Perhaps I can follow up some of it tonight. But the woman is depicted as this woman who is ready to give birth. If you went back to the book of Genesis, for example, chapter 37, write that down as a reference. Genesis 37, read it, verse 9 through 12. You'll find out in Joseph's day, Joseph had the vision, yea, the dream, that the sun and the moon, the stars would bow down before him. There's other references that lead us as we compare scripture with scripture that Israel is depicted as this symbolic woman. Wait a minute. So who is this woman? For a moment, let me talk with you about the past, the present, the future of Israel. Have you been hearing any news about Israel lately? Probably not. Why? Because all that's on the news is about the hurricane, scaring people to death. Amen. Nothing wrong with getting the news, but if we sit there and get in fear and insecurity, certainly we're not living in resurrection power and by faith and overcoming. Some of us need to get with God today and say, God, I've been living in fear instead of faith. Can I get an amen? You know who you are. And I don't care how long you've been in church or how long you've been teaching or preaching. I need Jesus to fill me up every day. I need fresh oil every day. The woman, Israel's past. God gave a covenant with Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis to chapter 15. It was called the unconditional covenant, namely the circumcision covenant. And not only to Abraham, but Isaac and Jacob. And not only to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but God promised them a land that they've not possessed as of yet. They've only possessed 10% of the land. Check it out in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And in other references, there's numerous passages. Well, when will they possess this land? That's why the book of Revelation was written. Daniel tells us that Israel is the focal point during the tribulation, not the church, not the ecclesia. Now, there'll be people saved during the tribulation. They're martyred saints. They're tribulation saints. They're not church. Anyway, and having said that, the woman is Israel. The woman, Israel, became a nation. I wish I had time to recap all the Old Testament, how the Lord led his people from and out of Israel and into Israel. And God has a plan, not only, listen, for his people, but he's got a purpose and plan for us, the church as well. Glory. What's going on in Israel right now? Can I quickly tell you? Have you heard? You probably hadn't. It's not in the news, not very much. I had to dig to find out information. Right now, as we speak, on the border of Israel, namely on the Golan Heights, there is Hezbollah. Guess who has been arming Hezbollah? Lebanon, the Hezbollah, the ones who are determined to wipe Israel off the map, along with Iran. You got it. And guess who other world player has joined the coalition to build a massive army and invade Israel sometime? I don't know when. Russia. Russia, did you know this? Russia has sent and built up anti-missile defense on the border of Israel. Did you hear last week? How many heard last week? Israel sent a bomber flyer to decimate a chemical factory. We're not hearing that here. Why? The focus has been on hurricane. It's going to hit us like a storm. The things that are building up. It's a very tense situation there. I'm just talking about the present tense. By the way, I believe the word of God is going to be fulfilled. How many believe the word of God is going to be fulfilled? The Bible tells us there's coming a day. I don't know if it's today or not or tomorrow. Certainly it doesn't appear it's going to be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. This coalition of nations that have come against Israel, Russia and Syria and these Turkey. Look at Turkey. And not only that, but the other nations as depicted in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's going to happen. The woman. Well, I got to go quickly. Number three about Israel. Not the past, not the present. What about the future? Listen to me. This depiction of this woman and this star constellation. What has God got in plan for Israel for the future? I'm glad you asked because I want to tell you. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 9. You know what God said about Israel? They will be saved in one day. One day they'll be saved, Zechariah 3:9. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. I believe the reference in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, of these fleeing into the wilderness is connected with Matthew chapter 24 and verse 16 is also identified with Isaiah chapter 63. Connect the dots. Connect the dots. I'm telling you, when you read the Bible, you got to get in there and dig, brother. You got to dig, sister. You got to put it together, my friend. It's not just going to leap off the pages and say, oh, we want it too simple. But wait a minute. What's going to happen to Israel? Two-thirds will die, according to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 8. One-third will survive. Where are they going to survive? Revelation 12, verse 6. He says that the woman's going to flee to the wilderness. And look over there, not only in verse 6, but if you'll notice what's going to happen. In verse number 14, she might fly into the wilderness. Her place, many believe, and I personally believe, you know where Israel's going to hide? I believe personally Petra. And I get that from Scripture. I get that from the Word of God. I just shared with you some verses. And at that time, when those remnants, the Jewish people, will hide in Petra after the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes back, look at this particular chart, the rapture of the church, next event on God's calendar, 7 years of tribulation. During this time, 3.5 years, is when Revelation chapter 12 and the war with Michael and the archangel Michael and Satan, and Satan is thrown, we'll talk about that in a moment, from the first heaven down to the earth. This woman has been persecuted, and this woman has already delivered a child, namely the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt that's a reference to the fulfillment of him ruling all nations. And yet, all of this, as I mentioned in the beginning of the message, is going to consummate when Christ comes again. Aren't you glad nobody can stop him? We can't even stop hurricane winds, let alone try to stop the living God. I'm telling you, Revelation chapter 19 says, John said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes are the flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. He hath a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. I love this part. And I saw the armies in heaven which followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know who that is? It's us, the blood-washed church. Somebody say amen. If you've read this and if you know what I'm talking about, you can't help but shout. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're saying, what in the world is Pastor saying? I'm telling you, the Bible teaches the church is coming back with Jesus. Oh, bless God, I've read the last page. We win in the end. That ought to encourage you, brother. All the anxiety, all the uncertainty. Telling you what, you get a good dose of this right here, and brother, it'll give strength to your soul. But wait a minute, And so all this is leading up. When Jesus in the battle of Armageddon, the blood so said to flow at the height that the horse's bridle, 176 miles from Armageddon, where the valley of Megiddo is to Petra, and the Lord will bring him back. Wait a minute. This is described in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40 and chapter 42, verse 48. Chapter 40 to chapter 48, the millennial reign. How many believe that temple is going to be rebuilt? Can I tell you what happened to me this week? I was at the Newton County Hospital. I talked with a doctor. He was in the ER. He came in the room with a patient that I'll tell you more about in a moment. And you know what he said? He looked at me and he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." It was about 1 o'clock in the morning at the ER. And anyway, I was with another family. And he looked at them and said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And then he said, "You're a pastor." He said, "Well, where do you pastor?" Newton County Hospital. I said, "Well, pastor down at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church down in Mansfield, Georgia." He said, "Was that a denominational? What is that?" I said, "We're dependent upon the Lord God." I said, "That's what I didn't mean to say it like in a sarcastic way at all." He said, "Ah, I like that." And you know what he told me he was? He said, "I'm a Messianic Jew, a doctor now." And he said, "You know what? I believe that that Dome of the Rock is going to be wiped away. And I believe this is a doctor, a medical doctor. He knows his Bible." Doesn't that bless you? How much more do we need to know the Bible? He said, "The millennial reign, that Dome of the Rock is coming down." I said, "Yes, it is. I've been there, praise God. And it's coming down. And the word of God is going to be fulfilled." I'm telling you, God's in control. We're not in control. Man's not in control. But the word of God is going to be fulfilled. By the way, in case you're wondering, the word of God, the Bible says the world's not going to come to an end with a flood. I got news for you. The next catastrophe, according to God's calendar, is going to be the fire. We're going through the fire. Brother, you better get right with God, because it could happen very soon. And it's time to start getting serious with God and stop playing games with God and start really getting cleaned up, confessing your sin and getting yielded and surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. Stop bouncing here and bouncing there and being confused about every wind of doctrine. Some of us, we've been in church long enough that we ought to be teaching the Word of God instead of having to be spoon-fed. Well, anyway. Well, where was I at? Israel's future. You know when the Jews are going to see Jesus? In the millennial reign. You know when they're going to take him back to that temple, rebuilt temple, 202 detailed verses, and they're going to look at their Messiah and be saved. They're going to see the nail scars in his hand. According to Zechariah 13, verse 6, they'll see Jesus as their Messiah and be saved. Won't that be wonderful? By the way, in case you're wondering, if a Jew does not get right with God today, he or she will go to hell. I don't believe in this business of just because they're Jew, they're going to heaven. Uh-uh. They've got to come the same way you and I have to come, the blood sprinkle way. And that's what I had the privilege of telling them. So anyway, in case you're wondering about that, well, the woman, are we living in the days of the woman? The answer is yes. Number two, are we living in the days of the great red dragon? Hang with me. Hang with me. The rapture of the church. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Be you ready? For you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. Oh, yes. We're living in the days. Number two, are we living in the days of the great red dragon? Look at verse number 3-6. Follow with me, please. And there appeared another wonder sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars, verse 4, of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, to be devoured this child as soon as it had born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations in the rod with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God. That's speaking of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. He was caught up unto God, unto his throne. Here's that other part that I was talking about, the woman fleeting. I've got to come on. I've got to follow. You follow with me real quick. Please follow with me. Who's this dragon? 10 horns? 7 heads? What? What's that all about? How do you interpret that? I'm glad you ask. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8. You can see that Daniel depicts thousands of years before this event. There's coming, listen, there's coming another world government. And not only has Babylon already come and gone, and the Medo-Persian Empire come and gone, and the Grecian Empire come and gone, and the Roman Empire dissipated. It did not completely be annihilated. Hear me. 476 A.D. It ceased. That's why many believe this is a picture of, some say at least, the infrastructure of the revived Roman Empire. This great red dragon, you can read Revelation 17, put it together. Connect the puzzle together. And Daniel says this revived or this new political government, the Antichrist will be the head. 10 horns, 7 heads, which I had time to go in more detail. Read Revelation 17. You'll see that Rome is depicted on 7 mountains. Hello. And there's other indications here. At any rate, here's the point. Are we living in the days of the great red dragon? Who is this dragon? It's the devil. Look at verse number 9. The great red dragon was cast out of that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. What's the devil doing? The devil hates Jesus. How many know that? And by the way, the devil hates you too. And by the way, the devil's got you in his crosshairs. And by the way, if the devil can't send you to hell by deceiving you to think that you're going to go to heaven by good works or some church membership or just because you was baptized or some other reason, if you hadn't been born again and saved by the blood of the Lamb, the devil's going to deceive you, and he would love to see you end up in a place where the worm does not die and the fire does not quench and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place called the lake of fire. But if he can't deceive you into following him to hell, because that's where he's going. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Here's what he's going to do next. If he can't cause you to follow him to the place of the lake of fire, he's out to wreck your testimony. Can I tell you, y'all look up here a moment. Y'all look up here a moment. Every single one of us in this room today is just one step away from wrecking your testimony. Don't you think the devil, don't you think you are more powerful than the devil? Don't you think the devil doesn't have a trap for you set up? He don't care what it is. We're in war. I said we're to be soldiers, not babies. We're to be soldiers and called to arms to fight the devil. Are you going along with the devil or are you fighting the devil? Either you're in the kingdom of God or you're the kingdom of darkness. Either you're serving the Lord or you're serving the devil. One of the two. Which one are you serving? Y'all look at me now. I don't mean to be straightforward, but I don't need any way to say it. I got to be honest with you. I'll stand before God one day and God will say, why didn't you tell him, son, why were you so concerned about having pleasing people and tickling ears rather than obeying me? One day I'll stand before God and give account for everything I say. And I love you. And I don't want to see you step on a rattlesnake. And so I'm going to try to warn you. And some of you, I'm trying to warn you. And you know who you are. You know who you are. You've been playing games. You're not serious. It's time to get right with God. Things are happening in our world. Time's short, and the devil knows his time is short. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Wait a minute. I was in the hospital over this week, and a lady came up and said to me, she said, I've been praying for a daughter and her son. Both of them are lost. How many know somebody that's lost today? You got lost loved ones. You need to be getting a hold of God today. I've been praying for this dear 16-year-old young lady. And you know what that family said to me? I'll tell you in a moment more, but here's what they said. Our daughter, 16 years old, we hadn't been in church in a long time. Weeks, months. And there's what she said. She said, my daughter, 16 years old, said, Mama, what in the world's going on in our world? Mama, it might be time for me to get saved. Whew. Isn't that good news? Oh, bless the Lord. I'm telling you, we have got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. There's opportunities out there. Watch this. Instead of bickering or arguing with some brother or sister, splitting hairs over something of this, that, and other, the devil's deceiving us, causing us to try to bicker and fuss about little insignificant things rather than reaching the lost. You see how the devil will work? He'll get you upset. Y'all listen to me. This happens every time. And I'm telling you, the devil's got your number, and the devil's going to get you upset about something going on in the church, and he's going to get you mad at this person and upset with this, and the devil's going to laugh at you and say, you fool, you went for the bait. Instead of getting right with God, getting serious about confessing your sins and getting right with our brother and sister, instead of whining about this and whining about that, it's time to get right with God and grow up as a man of God and a woman of God and watch God do great things. Oh, yes. So I got to close. My time's gone. Hey, look, this woman, she's standing before the great red dragon. Last but not least, are we living in the times of the woman? Yes. Are we living in the times of the great red dragon? Yes. Thirdly, are we living in the times where we ought to be overcoming? I said we ought to be overcoming. I said we ought to be overcoming. Some of you have been defeated. You can't no more lead anybody to Jesus than a man of the moon. I love you, but I got to tell you that. Why not? You've been in church long enough, you need to know how to lead somebody to Jesus. You've been in church long enough, you ought to be praying for somebody. Come on, talk to me. Amen. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. We ought to be a blessing, and many of you are a blessing. But some of us are just sitting, soaking, and souring. Come on, say amen. It's time to get right with God. Stop playing games. Time's short. How much time I got, I don't know. How much time you got, I don't know. Things are happening, folks. Things are happening. And we ought to be overcoming. We ought to be overcoming. We ought to be overcoming. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And then notice what happened. The devil with a great dragon took one-third of the stars. What's one-third of the stars? I've got to hit it in high gear. My time's about gone. The one-third of the stars are no doubt demon creatures. Keep in mind, wait a minute. Satan disguised Lucifer, otherwise known in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. He's always wanted to be like God. That's why God kicked him out of heaven. Behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Satan said, I'll be like the Most High God. And then Satan's plan didn't work. You know what Satan did then? Eve and Adam, here's the fruit, eat it. And sin came into the world. All are sinners by nature, choice, and birth. And you see, brother, you see, my dear sister, the devil has now gone from the third heaven to the first heaven. And this event, he'll be ejected from the first heaven to the earth. Do you see that? To the earth. And the demons fell with him. But I'm glad for one-third that did fall. Two-thirds didn't. Woo! Somebody ought to say amen. I'm telling you, there are angels all around us. I'm glad, hallelujah, that watch this. Though the devil's big and mean and ugly, Jesus Christ is greater than the devil. And here is the deal. As I wind this up, Michael the archangel overcame. Jesus overcame. You can overcome. Woo! I said you can overcome. I said we're made to be overcomers. I don't care what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you face. We got to stop whining and start shining. We need to stop pouting and start shouting. We need to claim the blood of the Lamb, the power of the cross. Stand up, soldier. Arise, men of God. Arise, women of God. And start putting on the armor and fighting your real enemy, the devil. They overcame Satan. By the blood of the Lamb. Let's say that together. He overcame Satan. Y'all aren't saying it. You're scared, aren't you? You're scared of the devil, aren't you? You're scared of the devil, aren't you? I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to eat your lunch. You are not a friend of the devil. And you might as well resist him, because the Bible says submit to God first and then resist the devil. Some of you are running from the devil. You need to stop running. You need to stop right where you're at and say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, wash me clean. And then, dear God, send the devil away from me in the name and the authority of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a man was going in a lion's pen at the zoo. Somebody saw him and said, sir, what in the world are you doing? Are you crazy? You lost your mind? He said, no. The man went in there, had some food for that lion, put it down on the ground, started walking out of the lion's pen with a full-grown lion in there. And somebody said, man, you have gone crazy going that pen with that lion. And the zookeeper that fed the lion looked at the folks who were watching and said, nope, He ain't got no teeth. He ain't got no teeth. And I want to tell you something. The devil, Jesus Christ, has de-teethed the devil. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Are you overcomers? Are you going to overcome? Are you going to rise above? Let's stand together.